בוקר אור רבותיי, ברשות מעלת הרב, ברשות קהל קדוש. Just a quick הלכה. ברוך השם, over the חגים, I had the זכות that was born to us a grandson, ברוך השם, on שמיני חג עצרת, which is a very appropriate day to have a son, a grandson, a boy. The Gemara actually tells us, the Navi tells us, that it was on that day that Shlomo HaMelech blessed the Jews that came to inaugurate the first Beit HaMikdash. And after he blessed them, it says everybody went home, Simechim v'tovei lev. They went home happy, v'tovei lev.
They all had sons.
And the Gemara says correctly that when they came home, miraculously, first everybody found that their wives were pure. None of them had any tum'ah. And furthermore, all their wives conceived immediately, and they all had baby boys. So therefore, the day is gorem for this simcha. As a result, our custom is that when you have the first boy that's born, so the father, the grandfather, the paternal grandfather, is the sandak. And our custom, of course, is that we name the child after the paternal grandfather, the first one. So that's a big milestone that now there's another Eliyahu Mansur going to be in the world, Be'ezrat Hashem. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but nonetheless, that Be'ezrat Hashem will happen. So I'd like to just clarify one halakha regarding sandak. The inyan of the sandak is a great, great mitzvah where one of the members, in this case the grandfather, is commissioned to hold the baby at the time of the Brit Milah. Many things have been said about sandakaut. The Hachamim compare this procedure to a Kohen actually bringing ketoret. The child would be considered like the ketoret. The sandak would be considered like the Kohen. And his lap would be considered like the Mizbeach. For this reason, there is a sefer called Berit Avot, and he comes along and says that a Kohen, when he brings the Ketoret, must be active. He cannot just bring it passively. And therefore, he recommends that the Sandak should actually take the child from the Abi Aben, as opposed to the Abi Aben placing the child on the Sandak's lap. I guess he understands that if the child is on the lap, the sandak is passive. He's just sitting there. Although he does work, he does hold down the job, but he understands that there has to be a ma'aseh like a kohen. And the ma'aseh haktara is the actual taking of the baby and putting it on one lap. Furthermore, the hachamim tell us that the ketoret was ma'ashir. That those that brought the ketoret, shortly thereafter, they would become wealthy. The pasuk says, "Yasimu ketorah be'apecha v'chalil amizbechecha barech Adonai chelo ufo'a yedav tirseh." So you see that there's a beracha that immediately follows somebody that brings the ketoret. So therefore, there is a great value in this. Therefore, there was customs in different communities. Saloniki, for example, had a minhag that they would not let somebody sit for sandak within 1 year from the last time that he sat, in order to give other people a chance to become sandak, in order to get the benefit of ashirut. Again, the custom in our community is not that. Baruch Hashem, we sit sandakaut even many times in 1 year. Furthermore, there's an interesting halakha in sandakaut. Ladies should not become sandakait. Although technically from the halakha, there wouldn't be anything technically wrong with it to sit, but it's piritzut. It's not modest for a lady to sit in front of all the men to be sandak. However, our custom is that the lady does participate a little, and we have the grandmother bring in the baby, so that's she's ozeret in the mitzvah. Although many of the hachamim, like the Maharam, recommended that the lady should not come into the Bet Knesset to walk amongst the men. They felt it's not modest. They felt that she should stand by the door and then the baby should be taken over there and then be brought to the sandak. cannot defend our minhag, but our minhag is that the grandmother actually walks into the Beit Knesset. Hopefully they dress modestly, they have the head covered properly, and they woke up. You know, we don't want Chas v'Shalom this mitzvah to turn into a ketrug. Nonetheless, the sandak has another benefit. The halakha says that if they're in the Beit Knesset, the shloshah ba'ale berit, Abiyah ben, the mohel, and the sandak, they're in the Beit Knesset. And let's say they're all Yisraelim, and there's one aliyah, it's a Monday or a Thursday, or let's say Monday and Thursday, who gets the aliyah? Who's considered the highest one that gets the aliyah? I would have guessed Abiyah ben. Well, actually, the halakha says Abiyah ben does get an advantage if he wants to be the hazan. No, I take that back. Abiyah ben gets little advantage besides that he's the Abiyah ben. The mohel gets an advantage if he wants to be the hazan. They have to invite him. He gets din kedima. They learn it from a pasuk that says romemot el bigronam. The praise of God will be in their mouths. V'herev pifiyot biyadam. The one that has the herev, the one that has the sakin shel milah, he has romemot el bigronam. So the Abiyah ben, he sits on the side. Mohel, hazan. But who gets the aliyah? Sandak. To show you how valuable the sandak is, the Rama writes in Resa Mechvav and Yure De'ah that he gets the aliyah. Different reasons can be given. One reason is given because the Abiyah ben is hayav in the mitzvah. The mohel, they're paying him, is hayav in the mitzvah. The sandak, he's doing it chesed, he's doing it, there's no hayuv to be a sandak. So since he's doing it, lefni mishurat adin, so he's considered ole al gabehen because he's doing it from his own volition. But based on what we just said, we could say al pi adrash, another explanation. That since we consider the sandak as like a kohen, and by kohen is a din of a kedashto, so even though he's not a real kohen, I understand that, but he has a din of a kohen. Therefore, we know that kohen always goes before everybody else. So therefore, since he's like maktir ketoret, so therefore the halakha says you have to give him the aliyah even against the other people that are there. Finally, of course, it would be recommended for sandak to purify himself b'tahara b'mikveh before he goes to do this great mitzvah. Again, obviously, a kohen was bringing a korban, it has to be tahor. So therefore, we want to do it as best as we can to fulfill that as well. The mekubalim say that sandak also has a tremendous ability to turn the prosecutor into a defender. You know, in Hebrew, the word for prosecutor is a kategor. The kategor is the prosecuting angels. And then you have the senigor. Senigor is the defending angels. So we're always looking for different ways to keep the kategor quiet and to get the senigor to be overpowering. But sandak does something else. Sandak doesn't only silence the kategor, but sandak has the ability to turn the kategor into a senigor. Imagine if you're in a courtroom, and all of a sudden, they say, okay, now we're going to hear from the prosecutor. The prosecutor comes in, and the lawyer says, okay, well, what do you have to say against this plaintiff? And the prosecutor says, he's a great guy. He's unbelievable. He doesn't deserve what they're doing to him. But you're the prosecutor. What should I say? I can't say anything bad about him. If the prosecutor speaks good in front of the judge, what can the judge do? Automatically, it's innocent. Incredibly, the sandak, when he sits, he has the power to turn mekatregim even into senigorim. And the hachamim give a remez to this. If you look at the word sandak, the mekubalim say, sandak is actually reshetevot. Senigor na'asa din kategor. Which means, the din kategor na'asa senigor. The din, the judgment of the prosecutor, turns into a defender, sandak. Sanigor na'asa. Who becomes sanigor? Who becomes the sanigor? Din kategor. The judge that is normally the kategor. So it's a great mitzvah. And therefore, we should try at least once in our lives to be zocher to this great mitzvah. Rabbeinu Ari writes that one that sits sandak is also a great tikkun for Brit Milah. You know, we have what's called Teshuvata Mishkal. When a person makes an avon, so we try to make a tikkun in the same way that we made the avon, for example. If somebody spoke Lashon Hara, so they say the tikkun for somebody that speaks Lashon Hara is to speak the Vrei Torah. David HaMelech says in Tehilim, Yechret Adonai Sefteh Halakot Lashon Medaberet Gedolot. God should destroy the mouths and the tongues that speak divisive language of Lashon Hara. And then a few pesukim later it says, Imrot Adonai Tehorot. Amarot, the words of God are pure. Kesef Saru Shivataim. So therefore, what's the connection between people that speak Lashon Hara and the words of the Torah are pure? To teach us that the tikkun for this avon is the other, which means use your mouth for good things, and it flushes out the avon of Lashon Hara. That's called Teshuvat HaMishkal. And therefore, we may say that the same thing, that when a person commits an avon in the Brit Milah, so when he takes the baby now and puts it on his lap, so therefore he's using that same makom, instead of Chas v'Shalom defiling it, that he's using it for something that is kadosh. Nonetheless, Rabotai, we see that the value is great. Maybe this is where you get the custom that after the Brit Milah, you see some people go to the Sandak and they ask them for Berachot. Okay, that's an interesting minhag. I guess the people look at the Sandak as somebody that has, you know, certain powers on that day especially. So therefore they want his Beracha. But I would like to just make one more point, if I may. And this is something that we see at many Brit Milahs, that at the time of the baby, when he's crying, they say that it's a Et Ratzon. And you see everybody take out their books, and they're praying. This one has a choleh, this one has a daughter that wants to get married, this one has a child that needs to get a job. You see everybody praying. However, Rabotai, I think we made a big mistake in this minhag. The root of the minhag was that when the baby's crying, you should pray first for the baby. This would be very selfish. Imagine you go to a hospital and you see somebody in the hospital in his bed crying, screaming. They tell you, oh, it's Et Ratzon. So, oh, please God, give me money, give me money. The poor guy's crying. Why don't you pray for him to be out of his pain first? You're using this person's pain in order to cash in on some... Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for yourself. But where's the derech eretz? First, you have to pray for everyone. Meaning, it's almost as if you say, "Oh, he's crying, Baruch Hashem, because he's crying now." And then, if the baby stops crying, says, "Continue crying. I didn't finish my tefillot yet. I still have a couple of more tefillot to make." Obviously, this would be ridiculous. So, therefore, Rabotai, and I have a proof to this. Rabbi Eliyahu Gutmach in Masechet Shabbat, in the back. At the end of Shabbat, I think Kuflamid Aleph, somewhere there, he mentions that the key was to pray for the Tinok in order that he gets a Refuah Shilema. That's why the eighth Beracha of the Amidah is the Beracha of Refa'enu. Why was the eighth Beracha Refa'enu? Specifically to pray for the children that are circumcised on the eighth day. That's why the Beracha that we say when we come out of the bathroom, we say, Rofeh Chol Basar. That God cures everybody, including the goyim. However, in the Amidah, we say Rofeh Choleh Amo Yisrael. Why? Because only Bnei Yisrael take the Brit Milah on the eighth day. So therefore, in the Amidah, we specifically mention Choleh Amo Yisrael. So therefore, if we're praying for them in the Amidah every single day, certainly at the Brit Milah itself, we should also make a tefillah. Similarly, I would tell Kal Kadosh, and I will conclude that when they go to a wedding, sometimes they say, oh, at the wedding is Et Ratzon also. They give out cards that you pray for Zivugim and you pray for this. But the first thing you have to pray for is for the couple. You have to always remember what the Ikar is and what the Tafil is. You didn't go to the wedding in order that you should have a... You have to be Mesameach Hatan V'Kala. So the first tefillah always should be that the Hatan V'Kala, they should be Zocheh, Tebanim, Zecharim, Oshba, and then you can add, Yom Tivu Yiratzon, we should be Zocheh, Semachot B'Yisrael, Amen, Ken Yiratzon.